What can we learn about the casual racism of the 1970s in a cartoon featuring indigenous people, plus an iconic character who owes his existence to a parents' action group? Lastly, we'll recommend the perfect sugar cereal to pair with a talking dog, a guy in an ascot, and one Mr. Norville Shaggy Rogers, who is perpetually stoned. Allegedly. All this and more on Episode 1 of Cereal Sommelier. Cereal Sommelier is a weekly podcast that explores the Saturday morning cartoons of the 1970s and 1980s. Every other week, I discuss a randomly selected episode with a guest, including a synopsis, history, our memories of sitting in front of the TV, and all the wonderful goofiness that made these shows so much fun. Or dreadful. Either way, really. On today's prequel episode, I reveal next week's guest, the episode we'll be reviewing, where you can find it online to watch ahead of time, and, of course, the perfect cereal to have in your bowl as you watch. Let's get to it with Episode 1 of Cereal Sommelier. I'm so excited to have you here and listen to the inaugural episode. I've been working on this show for a long time, and I'm thrilled it's finally reached your listening device. The cartoon gods have smiled upon me because next week we've got a great guest and a legendary cartoon to discuss. Peter Cohen is a writer and fellow Cape Codder. He currently writes for Backblaze and can tell you everything you need to know about backing up your stuff, which you should be doing. He has formerly written for Macworld, iMore, and others. He's also a funny old guy like me, so we'll have a great time discussing Season 3, Episode 3 of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? A Scary Night with a Snow Beast Fright. Jinkies! Now, I have a confession to make. Even as a kid, I hated Scooby-Doo. I think it was the stupidity of the characters that put me off. Week after week, the ghost or monster or ghoul or whatever it was revealed to be not supernatural, but, you know, Mr. Johnson from the mill. There was always a mill. The flimsy mask or dumb outfit or audio recording that had them fooled all along always seemed like the piece of garbage it was after being revealed. How could they be tricked by such a piece of crap? Whatever. It was a dumb show. Now, a moment ago, I identified this episode as Season 3, Episode 3, though technically that's inaccurate. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Ran for two seasons, starting in 1969, for a total of 25 episodes. In its final first-run episode aired October 31st, 1970. Now, 8 years later, nine episodes from the 1978 season of a later incarnation of Scooby-Doo, first run on ABC, were originally broadcast using the 1969 Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Opening and closing sequences. The entire 78 season, which completed its run as part of Scooby's All-Stars and was later syndicated as the Scooby-Doo Show, is sometimes marketed as the third season of the original Where Are You? Series. So there's that, Scooby-Doo nerds. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Was the first incarnation of the iconic Scooby-Doo series. We owe its existence to Archie Comics and Angry Parents. In 1968, the executive in charge of children's program at CBS wanted a Saturday morning show that would do two things. First, revitalize the network's Saturday AM lineup and please the parent groups who are complaining about the violence of superhero cartoons of the era. The result was The Archie Show, based upon Bob Montana's teenage humor comic book, Archie. The Archie Show featured teenagers who were in a band and got into typical 60s teenage hijinks. Music from the show was also very popular, including Sugar Sugar, which reached number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 chart in 1969 and stayed there for 4 weeks. Man, music was rough back then. It was also number one on the UK singles chart in the same year for 8 weeks. The song became a hit again in 1970 when Wilson Pickett released a cover version. Let's listen to a little bit of the original from Archie.
Take care of the kissing booth while we're singing, Sabrina.
Okay, everybody, here we go with our new hit record, Sugar, Sugar.
Stop tapping your toes. Now, eager to expand on Archie's success, Silverman contacted the now legendary William Hanna and Joseph Barbera about possibly creating another show based around a teenage rock group, but with an extra element. The kids would solve mysteries in between their music gigs. Silverman envisioned the show as a cross between mystery radio serials of the 40s and a popular early 1960s television show, The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, which featured a pre-Gilligan Bob Denver.
Reliable, trustworthy, true.
And being.
Thank you, Maynard.
But on the other hand, you're also sneaky, mean and rotten and kind of a skunk.
How can I be both?
Well, it's easy. With me, your friends, your parents and teachers, I mean, you're a real American and heck of a good sport. But with chicks, you're a pluperfect fink.
What are you talking about? I love chicks.
Yeah, Dope, that's why there's nothing you won't do to get one.
Well, I'll admit that in the past, I have done a few shabby things to get a girl.
Yeah, like lying and robbing and stealing.
But it was all for love, Maynard. And anyhow, that's all over now. I'll never chase another girl again.
Oh, you're gonna live in a cave and become a helmet.
Yeah, Maynard, that's hermit. You don't understand.
You not chasing chicks? No, I don't understand. Clue me.
Yeah, does that answer your question? My darling.
My angel.
My goodness.
Maynard, this is Giselle Hurlbut.
How do?
Like, hi.
Have you ever seen anything more beautiful in your life?
Oh, sure, lots of things. Let's
Giselle.
See.
Giselle.
My litter of baby ducks, my souvenir pillow from the Okefenokee Swamp, my mechanical pencil that writes in four different
Maynard.
Colors.
Maynard.
Enough?
Good thinking.
I got one more.
Keep it.
Of course I will. You think I give away my petrified frog?
Now that's family comedy. By the way, did you catch Maynard say, like, hi? He inspired the Shaggy character. Hanna and Barbera turned to Joe Ruby and Ken Spears to create the show. Ruby and Spears brought in Iowa Takamoto, I'm sorry I pronounced it incorrectly, I know, to design the show's characters. The original concept was called Mysteries 5 and featured five teenagers, Jeff, Mike, Kelly, Linda, and Linda's brother, W.W. Lastly, the gang had a dog called Too Much, who played bongos in the band. Which was called the Mysteries 5. And yes, the dog played bongos in the band. The network disliked the initial concept, arguing that it was too scary. So they made it more comedic, focusing on the dog. Eventually, the concept of the teens as a band was dropped. The characters' names were changed. Specifically, Jeff and Mike were merged into one character called Ronnie, later named Fred at Silverman's behest. Kelly was renamed Daphne. Linda was now called Velma. And Shaggy, formerly WW, was no longer her brother. The show debuted on Saturday, September 13th, 1969, with its first episode, What a Night for a Night. The original voice cast featured Don Messick as Scooby-Doo, Casey Kasem as Shaggy, Frank Welker as Fred, Nicole Jaffe as Velma, and Stefiana Christopherson, I thought I'd get her first name wrong, but no, it was the last, as Daphne. Frank Weller is of interest here because he's been voicing Fred since 1969. There are 760 other voice acting credits to his name on IMDb as of this recording, which is nuts, including Megatron from Transformers and George the Monkey on PBS's Curious George. Of course, everyone knows who Casey Kasem is. If you don't, shame on you, Google his name. However, I will note that Casey stopped voicing Shaggy when the network refused to make him vegan. Kasem voiced Shaggy from 1969 to 1997, left the show, and then returned in 2002. Now, in real life, Kasem was a vegan, and he wanted Shaggy to be one as well. When Kasem was asked to voice Shaggy in a Burger King commercial, he protested and quit the show. But in 2002, Kasem convinced the producers to allow Shaggy to become a vegetarian, and he was back on board. Finally, the tangentially related department has a story of a woman who got into a police chase while driving a 1994 Chrysler Town & Country minivan painted to resemble the Mystery Machine. If you want more on that story, and I know you do, check the show notes. And now, it's time for this week's pairing. No Saturday morning was complete without a bowl of sugar cereal, and I wouldn't have you enjoy these vintage shows without one of your own. You might think that one of the Scooby-Doo branded cereals is a good choice here, but that's misguided. Introduced in 2013 by the vintners at Kellogg's, the Scooby-Doo cereal is much too young to stand up to its iconic namesake. Described on the box as crispy, light, sweetened, vanilla-flavored cereal, Its subtleties would be lost on the complexities of Daphne's relationship with Fred, not to mention Scooby's larger-than-life persona. Instead, I explored the climate-controlled cereal cellar for a 1969 vintage, the same year that Scooby-Doo premiered on American television. 69 was a very good year, as Fruity Pebbles, Kaboom, and Chocolate Combos all hit shelves for the first time within those 12 months. At last, I found what I was looking for. Peanut Butter Crunch, the companion to Captain Crunch, is it. This crunchy sweet cereal made with real peanut butter has both the flavor and the pedigree to accompany such an enduring series. The follow-up to Captain Crunch, which was developed by flavorist Pamela Lowe in 1963, Peanut Butter Crunch itself features an iconic character in the titular Captain.
You need a balanced breakfast every morning, and Captain Crunch's peanut butter cereal can be a part of it. Whenever there's peanut butter cereal, Medley always comes a-running. Sometimes I wish he'd come a-walking.
Now from Captain Crunch, magic tricks. There are four magic tricks in all. A funny fishing hook, a nail, a screw, and a safety pin. You can fool your friends with magic tricks. Two in each specially marked box of Captain Crunch cereal.
Fool your dumb friends just as Mr. Johnson at the mill fooled the Scooby Gang. To fully enjoy your bowl of Peanut Butter Crunch, open the box so that it can breathe. Swirl a bit to fully aerate the cereal. Next, enjoy the bouquet. Really get your nose down in there and take a good whiff. Do you detect notes of sugar, peanut butter, hydrochloride, or riboflavin? They're all in there. Next, decant into your favorite bowl and add milk. Finally, introduce the cereal to your palate and note the annoying mouthfeel. See how it's shredding the roof of your mouth to ribbons? That's why this cereal is as annoying as Scooby, Shaggy, Velma, and the rest. Going for spoonful number two. Now you're ready. More than 40 years after its debut, we're still watching Scooby-Doo, and people everywhere know who he and his friends are. It's a dumb show that grabbed the public's attention and hasn't let go. Still, we have more questions than answers. Is Shaggy always high? Are Fred and Daphne doing it? Why doesn't Velma just get contacts? She loses her glasses so damn much. We'll address these questions and more next week. Talk to you then. And if you're good, you just might get yourself a Scooby snack. Oh boy, Ruby Racks!